Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, September 11th, 2014. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, can you fix a beer that's too heavy and sweet after it's been bottled by decanting it and adding Brettanomyces and or lactobacillus? Homebrewer Dan Kosmarski has conducted an experiment with three different beer styles to find out, and we sample the results. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can find me on Twitter. My username is basicbrewing, all one word. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. Our show page on Facebook, which is where I post most of the stuff, is at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus as well. And thanks to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon shopping, you know what to do. Go to our website first, basicbrewing.com. Click on our Amazon ad on the right-hand side of the page. That will take you to Amazon, where you will shop as you normally do. You won't even notice anything different. But we will, because we'll be getting a cut of what you buy. And we greatly appreciate everybody who has done so already. We have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Home Brewers Association on our site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes, our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows app or Windows Phone app as well. We're in the BlackBerry podcast directory. We're on Stitcher. You name it. We're just in a lot of places. Check out our Brewer's Logbook at basicbrewingshop.com. In the front is a blank calendar that you can use to track your fermentations and plan your brews. And there's room in the back to log the details of up to 50 batches of beer. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who has done so already. Protect your precious beer with one of our growler bags. Check those out at basicbrewingshop.com. And for a limited time, you can get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with the purchase of any of our DVD combos. Quite the deal. We have a sponsor this week. Just like your favorite beer and cheese pairing, the American Homebrewers Association is the perfect companion for anyone who's passionate about beer. Whether you're an expert homebrewer or just getting started, more than 43,000 members rely on the AHA for money-saving member deals, event discounts, and brewing resources. As a not-for-profit organization, the AHA relies on members to support their work to promote, protect, and grow the homebrewing craft. Support your passion. Visit homebrewersassociation.org and join today. I'm zipping on past the mailbag this week again. Sorry about that, but we've got a lot of talking and tasting to do, and I want to sneak underneath my self-imposed one-hour time limit for the show. So let's get to it. Over the years, I've been asked if beers that are too cloying and sweet that have finished, you know, with a gravity that's a bit too high can be fixed, even after they're bottled. Well, I think Dan Kosmarski's ambitious experiment can provide some answers. Dan Kosmarski, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you very much, James.
This is a fun experiment, and I gotta say that you have set a record. You have sent me more beers in one single shipment than anybody else in the history of this podcast, or in the history of my personal history, so congratulations.
Well, thank you again. It turns out that it really became a logistical challenge to be able to pack, I think it was 20 beers in one box, and still be able to lift it with all of the inner layers and that sort of thing that I did. But it made it, and I'm grateful for that to UPS.
The shipping on that had to be something else. I'm going to have to send you some goodies from the store to make up for that. but I was expecting another box. I can't remember what, but, you know, it was significantly lighter what I was expecting. And then I walked out and picked up this box. I was like, holy smokes, somebody has sent me bars of gold or something. Maybe not golden gold, but golden ale was part of it. Tell us about this experiment. You sent three different styles of beer and different samples of each style of beer. But what got you into this, and what is this thing that you've done?
Well, as I evolved in my brewing hobby, I've gone for increasingly big beers, and the fundamentals are worked out over time. I think I got the various the water chemistry balance is good, so I was ready for the challenge of bigger beers. And as I made several successive beers, attenuation was good. Effectively, the beers are tasty, but for my palate, just a little bit too much residual sweetness and a little bit too much mouthfeel. So, you know, if you're going to sit down to enjoy a beer, you better plan on having a long time for one glass of these, because they're just big beers and bordering on cloying, really.
And so you were looking for a way to fix beers that were already done. I mean, I've had questions about this in the past. You know, my beer is bottled already. What can I do to fix it? So that was the premise of your experiment, right?
Yeah, that's right. These things were bottled and on the shelf, and I wasn't going to enjoy them, actually. So by various episodes that you've had on sour beers and, you know, BYO magazine and articles on the internet, I leapt forward and read a little bit about some of the Bretts and the lactobacillus. I picked some up. I had actually contacted you before the onset to see if it would be appropriate to put these cultures of yeast and bacteria directly into bottles, and you said, well, let me tell you about bottle bombs. And then he suggested that I actually decant and go back through a fermentation, which is what I did.
Yeah, you don't want to dose a sweet beer with the Brettanomyces or the lactobacillus, because it will continue to eat the sugars that the Saccharomyces couldn't. And if you don't compensate for that, it's going to overcarbonate and potentially create an explosive situation, literally. So tell us about how the experiment worked.
Okay, quite specifically, what I did is I decanted very carefully a bunch of bottles of beer back into a gallon or 2 gallon carboys. I inoculated with either a Brett Clausenii, a Brett Bruxellensis, or a Lactobacillus delbrueckii. And I did them individually. This was already sort of a shotgun, because I was doing three beers and different permutations of these critters with each of the beers. So that was the approach. I let it incubate. At this time, we were into late fall when I did it. My basement was hovering right around 60. I fermented them for 3 months. There really never seemed to be a lot of activity, although they did start to produce some CO2 gas. But eventually it ceased at about 3 months. I reprimed and rebottled and aged the all of them for, I believe, 6 months, and then started the tasting and shipped some off to you for evaluation.
Well, there you go. And I chose three different, because there were so many beers, I didn't want to sit down with one person, one session, and do them all at once. So I chose three different venues, three different people to help me taste the different, the three different styles. And so we've got three different tasting sessions to listen to. Are there any more details to the experiment guidelines, or do you want to just launch right into one of the tastings?
I think let's go ahead with the tastings. It was really a pretty straightforward process. You pour the beer out, you inoculate it. Temperature was pretty near, it's probably 62 degrees plus or minus 2 degrees for the entire 6 months in my basement, or 3 months. in my basement. So, yeah, there's not much more to it than that.
And then you reprimed with priming sugar before you put it back in the bottles?
That's correct.
Okay.
And, well, if there's one thing, I did aim for a CO2 in the bottles to be about 2.4 volumes. So that was a target, and it's always worked for my basic beers, not my basic beers, but the beers that I do. But with this secondary fermentation with these critters, that also became a bit of an unknown as to what they were going to do.
Right. The first tasting session that I did was with Nathan Traw, who's the brewmaster at Apple Blossom Brewery in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I chose to take the old ale that you brewed, which was you gave a bottle of the original, a bottle inoculated with the lactobacillus, and then a bottle inoculated with the Brett Clausenii. So briefly tell us about what the base beer is.
The old ale was following pretty typical guidelines, both in the grain bill. I had some pale two-row and so just a little bit of wheat. And I will point out that my brewing system is a little bit bigger than most home brewing. I have a 25-gallon mash tun and a 20-gallon boil pot. Mm. And a pretty nice pump assembly to move things around. So so when I say I have a couple pounds of wheat in it, on a percentage basis, it's just a couple percent. So, but effectively, it was a pretty typical recipe for an old ale. I had actually aged it for a couple months before trying because it was a big beer. And the sweetness was a little bit more than I wanted. And a couple months later, it hadn't dissipated any. So that's when this became a candidate for trying to do something about it.
Okay. So let's go back to the Apple Blossom Brewing Company with Nathan Traw. Well, Nathan Traw, here we are in the front of the house this time, not in the back of the brewery, and we're sampling some home brews here. We have an old ale. We have an old ale with welcome, by the way.
Oh, hi. Thank you, guys.
We have an old ale. We have an old ale with Brett Clausenii. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I assume so, too.
And an old ale with Lactobacillus delbrueckii. And first of all, when we opened the base beer, the old ale, it gushed a bit, but it doesn't taste overly funky. So, you know, there may be a little something going on in there. But we sampled them all three, and so let's start with the base beer. What are your impressions?
So nose, you know, nothing in particular. What I expect from a big malty ale. Upon a sip, kind of going back to the gushing, maybe, you know, visibly it looks more carbonated, and I'm getting a little bit of acidity, and it may be just from a slightly higher carbonation. And again, due to the gushing, I could explain that as well. It could be kind of have some kind of funkiness going on. Maybe been sampling Brett Lambicus all day. It could be. Maybe I'm just detecting that. But yeah, you know, good solid old ale in my opinion. The foam or the head retention. It's about kind of what I would expect. You know, everything just appears, you know, normal for a beer of this style.
And I would say it's what, a copper color?
Yeah, you know, copper pale, very bright, or clear. Clarity is solid on it, so there is no indication other than the gushing of any kind of contamination. So I think it's a good, you know, control for this experiment.
Malty, and there's a bit of
there's a little bit of sweetness, mm-hmm, at the end, and then yeah, kind of a sharp, kind of reminds me of a carbonic acid more than anything, kind of acidity there at the end.
There's some caramel notes in there. It kind of reminds me of I bottled my attempt of a Scotch ale today, so it's along in that same family. Tasty.
Yeah,
I thought it was good. And then we move on to the Brett beer, and there's some visible differences starting to happen there.
Yeah. First off, the head on this beer, out of all three samples, is the longest lasting. Has got some solid lacing on the glass. All of our glasses here are polished too, so that definitely helps out. But yeah, I mean, and I will say visibly, it's slightly more cloudy. It's definitely the cloudier of the three samples. However, it's not a deal breaker. You can only really tell by holding them up to the sunlight and double checking, wiping off any condensation that's on the outside. And it's definitely the cloudiest of the three. Big horse blanket aroma you'd come to expect from a Brett beer. Then upon taste, you know, the sweetness is definitely dissipated quite a bit. It's a lot drier, and you know, even from me having another sip, the head on the beer is even, you know, more luscious than it was before, which is odd due to all the lipid, you know, enzymes in our mouth that are just wanting to break down on those proteins, fat content. And you know, I would say it's, you know, compared to the control, it tastes a lot more balanced. You know, there is a slight Brett funkiness. However, I think it definitely balances out the malt character quite a bit. And the sweetness, as I said, it's definitely gone. It's much drier on the palate. I think it's got a little bit more pleasant of a mouthfeel to it. And again, I've been sipping sours all day, so it could be that one I'm experiencing. Even holding it up again to the light, it's still got a little bit of cloudiness to it. However, I would still, you know, still call it somewhat bright.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would. I'm not saying that you're saying this, but I wouldn't call it sour.
Yes, I mean
it's funky, but not sour.
Yeah, and, you know, most Brett beers, when we think of sour, we think of acidity, and Brett just doesn't produce that much acidity. It produces the horse blanket type aromas that we all come and love, and the taste as well. But you know, I'm not really getting much in the taste and aroma wise. I can definitely point at it and say this is a Brett beer.
It's very dry. Yeah. Which is probably what he was, probably what Dan was shooting for, but I think it's really interesting. I think there are some kind of bright fruity flavors, maybe some I don't know if I'm imagining, but maybe a little bit of tropical fruit flavors coming through.
I would agree with that. I would say the caramel notes are much lighter. Yeah, so I mean.
Very interesting.
Definitely very pleasant. I would buy a six pack of it.
Yeah, that's
weekly,
good.
Weekly, probably. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you prefer it to the base beer?
I do, actually. I mean, even just appearance wise, I mean that lacing and that foam's enough. As a professional, it's really, you know, awesome. I wish some of my beers had that. I mean, especially in a sample glass. You know, after multiple sips, had this much foam.
Yeah.
Toward halfway through the.
It keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And then here's the lacto. I got to say, it smells more lacto-ish than it tastes.
Yes. It's definitely got our, you know, classic lacto smell. And I definitely kind of think it more balances the malt flavor, more so than the Brett. And it's definitely a little sweeter, although it's definitely drier than our control here, our base. I kind of want to say it appears to be more, visibly carbonated. I mean, even holding the Brett and the lacto side by side, I definitely see more bubbles. There's less of a, you know, definitely not very much acidity going on. There's more caramel notes, especially more than the Brett. It does have the weakest of the head or the foam of all three samples, you know, drastically less than the Brett. Let me just give it a couple of shakes, and definitely a lot less than the base or the control. Big lacto, or sorry, not big lacto, but definitely a present detectable lacto aroma. I kind of want to say it's more carbonated than the base and the Brett here.
But it has about similar head retention as the original beer.
Yeah, which is interesting. I would definitely say, out of all three, the Brett is probably the lesser carbonated of the samples.
It surprises me that the lacto isn't more sour.
Yeah, I mean, we would expect, you know, a lacto beer to be, you know, sharp, sour milk. And that may have been, like, malt choice. There may have been not a lot of lactose present. This maybe requires additional aging. But lactobacillus, at least our professional culture strains, will only drop a beer 2 to 3 degrees Plato, which is awesome because we can produce, like, a Berliner Weiss within 3 to 5 days. And then I do know when you're using, like, you know, more of a, you know, raw barley or grain as a souring agent, you can get some of the wild, you know, cultures of lacto in there that will ferment the whole thing. But yeah, this is.
So do you prefer the lacto over the base beer?
Let me try the base beer one more time.
This is a kind of a. I'll take the opportunity to try the base beer as well.
I want to say, yeah. I mean, I detect a lot of like dextrin malt, which professional brewers, we either love or we hate dextrin malt, and I'm one of the haters of dextrin malt. I can't appreciate, I mean, this is a solid beer, however, the taste of dextrin malt is like how some people taste lacto or Brett and just shy away from it. And I would say that it's not as present here in the lacto, and definitely not present here in the Brett. I mean, I would say I prefer the lacto over the base or the control old ale, but my favorite here is the Brett by far.
I agree. Fun experiment. Thanks for your help, Nathan.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this over, James. It was a lot of fun.
So there you go. Very interesting. The Brett was our favorite, and the both the lacto and the Brett reduced the gravity, ate some of those. Residual sugars, so it accomplished what you were looking for.
It sure did. And one of the things that I think surprised me a little bit is in the original and in the lactobacillus, the head retention was sort of minimal. And the Brett Clausenii actually brought it out so that it turned out to be quite a nice appearing beer. As Nathan had indicated, there was a slight bit of cloudiness present there, but and I can't attribute that to anything other than the Brett having chopped up some stuff or still being in suspension a little bit. But it really improved the mouthfeel. It got rid of the sweetness. So I'm very pleased with the outcome of both the old ale lactobacillus and Brett Clausenii in terms of getting rid of the sweetness, improving the mouthfeel. The nice thing about the Clausenii for me also is that it added a whole new dimension of complexity and character as compared to the original.
Mm-hmm.
The lactobacillus got rid of the sweetness, but it didn't really bring anything new. It may have unmasked a few things that were hidden from the sweetness in the original.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't more sourness in the lacto beer, so that was kind of surprising to me.
It was a really simple grain bill. It may have been because of the lateness. If I had added lacto earlier in the process, it may have had more to work on. But that's an unknown that I'm going to look at in the future.
Well, let's move on to the second tasting. This one was with Andy Sparks, and we did the porter. All right, Andy Sparks are back here in the birthplace of Basic Brewing Radio. It was born on one of these stainless tables, right?
I think so, just a couple years ago, right?
Just a couple in binary. We are tasting this experiment with this original porter, and then a porter with Brett Clausenii, and then a porter with Brett Bruxellensis. So it's a fun experiment, first of all.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped when I found out I was going to get to be involved in this one. I do a little bit of this kind of playing around with beers and throwing, bottling them up with a one, and then kind of throwing a funky ingredient into the dregs, into the bottom of the bottling bucket, and doing this kind of, you know, in a smaller way. This is super cool to get to see how the different wild yeast change the flavor of this porter.
So first of all, let's talk about the porter itself. It's a pretty tasty beer.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty intense. It's a big porter, right? You know, like both porters and stouts, they kind of run the gamut from big ones into smaller ones, and this is a pretty big one.
Yeah, 7.4% ABV, so it'd probably be in the robust porter category.
Yeah, probably so. It's nice.
But it's not, you know, it's not hot. It is kind of sweet. Which I guess that's part of what Dan wanted to address, was how can you get some of the sweetness out of an overly sweet beer.
Right.
So I don't think this is overly sweet. I think it's tasty.
I like it. I mean, I think I can see, you know, it does have some residual sweetness. It is a big beer. So I could see how, you know, he thinks it's a little touch sweet. But if it's, you know, a big robust porter, they can be that way.
So we move on to the first funky one is the Brett Clausenii, and this one gushed. It came out of the bottle aggressively,
right.
And it's a bit more carbonated than the others.
Yeah, definitely. And has a lot more kind of head retention. It's still got a nice foamy head on it, where the other two beers have basically faded back just to the ring of foam. Nice beer. You know, I found that it didn't have a lot of, when I think of a Brett beer, I expect some funkiness in the aromatics. And so the first thing I did is took a big sniff, and I didn't pick up a lot of funkiness on this beer right up front in the nose.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't know what order we'll play these in, but Nathan and I had the Brett Clausenii Old Ale, and it had quite a bit more funk than this one. This is a much drier beer than the first one, which I think it's good.
Right, I think it's an improvement over the first one in that it is a little crisper beer, doesn't have quite the cloying sweetness of the first beer. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't probably pick out the Brett in this beer if you didn't tell me it was in there. It is a little odd that it does gush. That's usually a sign of a problem, but that's one of the issues when you do experiments like this, because the Brett can eat a lot of things that other yeasts won't. You can get a little bit of this kind of aggressive foaming in a beer when you put Brett in it.
But tasty. I think it's, like I said, it's drier than the original. Mm-hmm. I was expecting more of a Brett character, especially after doing the Old Ale version. But I like it. I like it. I like it better than the original.
Me too. I'm with you there.
Now we move on to the Brett Bruxellensis, the porter with Brett Bruxellensis.
And this one has a classic kind of Brett funkiness, you know, in the nose. It's not super strong. You know, I've had beers that just almost knock you out with their funkiness, but this one just has a kind of it's that kind of damp hay or something like that.
Think Orval.
Right.
To me, the funkiness that I get from this reminds me a lot of Orval.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice and just subtle enough so that you want to go back and smell it again, and it's not too kind of oppressive. It's really pretty.
And I was expecting the Brett funkiness to clash with the roasty character of the porter, but I don't find that. I think that it's complementary.
Right. Yeah, and this one is really nice. It's got that kind of Brett character in the flavor as well. And from what I understand, some of the early porters and actually ended up probably having these Brett infections in them, and even some lacto infections. So it's probably more appropriate to have some of this funkiness in your porter.
Yeah, to be more appropriate to the history of the,
right.
And that you would expect probably to have some smoke flavor in there as well, and who knows, maybe some wood, although they probably coated the inside of the barrels. But I think so. Which is your favorite of the three?
Wow. You know, I really like number two, but I wouldn't have even picked it out as a Brett beer. I just like it kind of that it's kind of crisp and nice. But the funkiness of number three kind of wins me over in the end. I mean, if we're gonna have a Brett beer, I want to taste the Brett in it. So,
Yeah, I think like I said, I like the original porter, but I think each of the experiment beers were an improvement over the original, and. I think I'm going to go with the Brexilensis. I think it. I like that Orval character. I like that funkiness, and it's really interesting. It's a complex beer. Although, you know, I would drink all of these.
Oh, exactly.
And I shall.
Right. Yeah. Here's to that.
Well, thanks, Andy. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. No problem. Anytime, James.
The porter was a real surprise to me. Once again, it was a big beer, and there was a little bit of sweetness, but it was the sort of thing that I really like. On a cold winter night in front of the fireplace, this is a good beer to have. But I had just brewed some, and because I knew there was some sweetness, I just tried. In this case, I left out the lactobacillus, and I did the two species of Brettanomyces. And I was really delighted. One, that it made it a drier beer, a very pleasant, and exposed me to things that, at least with the Brexilensis, I almost didn't even recognize it as a porter, but a really good beer of unknown name.
Yeah, it was interesting that the Clausenii, I didn't perceive it as being as funky as with the old ale, but then again, I wasn't tasting the two Brett strains side by side. So it could have been, you know, as funky as in the old ale, but next to the Brexilensis, it paled in comparison. So that was interesting to me. I enjoyed the Brexilensis quite a bit. And I use the word Orval. I'm not sure if Brexilensis is what Orval uses to get the funkiness, but I enjoyed the beer. I enjoyed the funkiness, and it paired well with the style, which again was kind of a pleasant surprise.
And I really appreciated Andy's comments about. The history of porters and how they were made, and that this may actually be sort of a recreation of the antiquity porters, because these characters, the critters, were more typically contaminating back then. One thing that I've observed between the Brett Clausenii and Brexilensis, if I'm pronouncing those right, is that I'm picking up more sour characteristic from the Clausenii, whereas the Brexilensis is giving me the really true Brett character. And it's a nice comparison as I go forward to be able to tweak these things and maybe even start to do a little bit of simultaneous adding of both cultures to a batch for fermentation.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Well, let's move on to the third tasting. This is with Steve Wilkes and the Belgian Golden Ale. Steve Wilkes, here we are again tasting beers.
It's always a pleasure to taste beers at Studio A.
Well, here we are. We have the... Let's just go down the line here. Okay. We have pre-tasted, and so first of all we have the original Belgian Golden. I'm going to take another taste here, just to remind my taste buds of what we got here.
Indeed.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Click.
Hold on.
It's tasty.
It is.
I like it.
It's very Belgian-y. It's got that nice little Belgian funk hump at the back, I call it. The Belgian funk hump.
You used to go there in college.
I did. You could get 3-2 Belgian funk hump at the time.
Come on down to the Belgian funk hump. I thought it was tasty. To me, it had a little bit of something, and I think it might be. I don't know how old the beer is. It's starting to get a little bit of oxidation to me.
Yeah, I think it's a little oxidized, but it's not. It's not unpleasant. It's not gotten to that place where you're going, "Woo, that's got some oxygen in it." You know, I can breathe that stuff.
Load that up into the Aqualung.
That's right. Aquaman gets drunk on that stuff.
No, but it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I think it's pleasantly oxidized. You know, there's some beers that you age a while, some big beers that you age a while, just to get that character. And I think that it's got that. But that's it's Belgian-y. I wouldn't call it a golden. It's a little coppery. To be a golden.
Yeah, I'd call it a golden with a tan.
It's like,
I get a little copper tone in this.
As long as it's not Hawaiian Tropic.
That's right. Well, it'd be a coconut golden.
Okay, so we move on to bottle number 10, which is the Belgian Golden with Brett Clausenii.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to remind our taste buds again.
Ooh, and that's nice and tart.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a little cidery or vinegary, but in that tart way that's kind of nice. I actually quite like this beer, or the change that happened to the beer by doing this. It's very interesting. One of the things about this little taste test that I find very interesting is that here are three different critters that you can't compare very often in an isolated sort of way, so this is a great little test. At any rate, this beer is quite nice, and it reminded me ever so slightly of La Folie. La Folie is a more complicated beer than this, to be sure, but when my very first impression of it was, oh, that's La Folie. So there you go.
It's not as aggressively sour as La Folie.
No. I don't want to imply that it has all of the sourness or all of the complexity of that beer. It doesn't. But nonetheless, I would postulate that La Folie has some of this kind of Brett in it.
It's drier than the original. There's less, in other words, there's less mouthfeel.
Yeah.
It tastes more funky than it smells. I don't get a lot of funk off the nose.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I like it better than the original. Number 12, the Brett Bruxellensis. Now that, boy, you smell that and you really get the...
That's Funky Town. That's Funky Town! Funky Town! Oh yeah.
You get used to hear that down at that bar that I can't remember the name of now.
That's before they paved the streets and had the cars. Back when Kansas City swung. And I like this. I like this quite a lot. In fact, I like this better than our previous sample. I'm sorry, I can't say all those fancy names.
The Clausenii.
I like this better than the Clausenii. It smells funky. It tastes a little funky, but it took away that kind of bubblegum thing that was in the first one. And I like this beer quite a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. So which one are we drinking? We're drinking the
Bruxellensis, the Brett Bruxellensis. To me, it reminds me of Orval.
Yeah, it does. And also the fourth emperor after Augustus. His name was Brett. He went by Augustus Brett.
Brett Bruxellensis was his son.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a general. Crossed the Rubicon, and that's all we've ever heard of him.
And he commanded the troops after a Lactobacillus delbrueckii.
That's right.
Which is the next beer.
Yeah.
So this is number 14.
Now, I don't get a lot of bouquet off of this beer. Mm-hmm. And you don't either? Okay.
I get a little bit of the lactose stuff going on, but maybe that's mine. It'd be fun to try these blind. Temporarily blind.
I won't go there.
I get a little bit, just a little teeny bit of the lacto mm-hmm. off the nose.
Yeah, I do too. It doesn't have as much bouquet as any of the other three beers. And of the four beers, it's my least favorite. Mm. I do get kind of that milk thing. I don't know. I'm not crazy about it.
Well, there's not as much with the lactose or lactobacillus, right. not lactose, but right. lactobacillus, you expect sourness.
Yeah.
I don't get sourness, although it is drier than the original. And it did it did take that the oxidized character. There's no oxidized character in this beer.
No, there's not. In fact, none of them that have been treated taste oxidized to me at all. And you're right, this one doesn't. For me, because it doesn't give me any sourness or any kind of real funk, I'm almost like, what's the point? Mm. In a way, it's like kissing your sister.
I'm leaving that alone.
Okay.
So, but I would say, out of all these, the biggest bang for your buck, if you're going to do this with this style, is the Brett Bruxellensis. That gives the biggest impact, and to me this is our third show to do today.
Only six more to go.
We're doing them in bulk today. So we're passing on the savings to you. But no, the Brett Bruxellensis to me had the most character and seemed to be the most interesting.
Me too, and I would say the most sophisticated of the flavors. Meaning, the Brett I can't pronounce it.
Klausenii
really added a nice sour note, but kind of in a rough way, kind of like a like a sledgehammer. I mean, it's like, whoop, that's really sour. That's really hitting you. I really would like to try blending these two together. I have a feeling that they both bring something interesting to the beers. If I had to have one and only one, I would choose the Bruxellensis. Man, I could never have been in the Roman army because, you know. Anyway, I really like that flavor profile quite a lot. I digress.
I haven't had beers like this since I was XXI.
That's right. I was driving down the highway and it was going XXXYXL and I got pulled over. You should have seen the cop. He wrote the ticket. That took him an hour.
You forgot to carry the C.
That's right.
Oh, we'll try splashing a little bit of that into that.
I will.
So you're splashing a little bit of the Klausenii into the Bruxellensis.
Yes.
And the verdict is?
Nectar of the gods.
Which one? Apollo? Or it would be...
No, a sweet little nymph I used to know over on 12th Street.
It wouldn't be Bacchus because that was wine.
Yeah, who's... maybe he was just drunk.
Was that Greek? Oh, it's all Greek to me.
It's all Greek to me. Anyway, actually the blend is quite nice. Obviously very unscientific. But as I suspected, I got a little bit of both in it, and I like it.
There you go. Steve likes a little bit of both. For the record.
For the record.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, of course, Steve and I can't, we can't help but be silly. That's just a hazard of the job at this point.
But in that humor, there was a lot of wisdom and some insight. This Golden Belgian, by the time I'd gotten around to inoculating it, had actually been more than a year old. And, you know, although I live sort of in the northern Midwest and my basement remains reasonably cool, this had probably seen a full summer where, you know, it might have gotten up to 70 in my basement. So, as you guys picked up on, and I did as well, there's starting to be a little bit of oxidation. And it's not unpleasant, but it's there. And I was impressed. This was the one beer where I actually did all of the cultures, the two yeast Brett's and the one bacterial lactobacillus. And all of them got rid of that character of oxidation that is not uncommon when I age beers this long.
Yeah, it was almost like it gave the beer a fresh start. It's interesting that you said that it was aged that long, because that would certainly explain the oxidation notes that we were tasting on that. I'm surprised, you know, knowing that it wasn't more oxidized tasting than it was, but yeah, the adding the bugs to the beer, it freshened it up, and it got rid of those oxidized notes. Very interesting.
And then, in addition, all three of the critters that I added got rid of the sweetness. So it consistently now, this is the third beer we've tasted, and as with the others, the lactobacillus and the Brett's managed to dry the beer out, gave it a much nicer mouthfeel, and sort of encouraged you to go ahead and have some more, maybe a little bit faster. And once again, with the lactobacillus, it removed the sweetness, but it also maybe revealed that there wasn't that much complexity to the beer itself. And it may have unmasked a little bit, but it didn't add anything of its own. And the beer... It was drinkable, but, you know, if you have a choice, as I think both you and Steve said, it was your least favorite, and mine too.
Yeah, I would say that I think, as Steve said, the Brett cultures give you a better bang for the buck in this experiment, you know, because even though the lacto did dry out the beer, which was one of the goals, it didn't bring any more fun to the table. So, I'm assuming, did you use an entire sample of each of these organisms in each batch?
I did it to recommendation. One of the Brett's and I guess the Clostridiae came from White Labs, as did the lactobacillus. And, each tube was geared for, I think, 5 gallons. And so I just portioned it out so that whether I was in the 1 or 2 gallon, it got the appropriate amount based on their recommendation.
So you didn't spend the whole amount, spend the whole dollar amount on each small batch. That's good.
No. In the case of the Brett Bruxellensis, that was a Wiest product, I'm pretty sure. And when I was actually purchasing that, the proprietor at the grain store said, "Do you really want to put the taste of horse blanket into your beer?" And then he told me how much it cost, and it was considerably more than, maybe about double the cost of a yeast. But, you know, for the sake of better home brewing everywhere, I bit the bullet and did it. So
I think the answer to that question would be, well, yes.
Well, yeah, of course it was. But I was surprised to hear that from him. But maybe the sour beers just haven't reached this part of the world yet. And, you know, I just might interject that anybody who's even thinking of doing it, go ahead and do it, because it really did yield some surprises that were pleasant for me.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend it as well. It was a lot of fun, and especially if you have a beer that you think is too sweet and you can make it more drinkable by putting some bugs in it, I'd say go ahead. What's the next step? What's the next experiment?
Well, this was initially to try and correct what I perceived as a problem. And the results were better than I could have expected if I had actually set out to do it. So now I'm going to set out to do it. I see two possible approaches. One is to try, and because of my system, I can make about 20 gallons of beer at a time. And so I can effectively have divide that up into 4 or 5 gallon trials and inoculate at different increments after I've added the yeast. And the other thing is to try and proportion it so that I add the yeast and the Brett cultures simultaneously, but in different ratios. And I don't know which way is appropriate. I'm hoping for some, you know, divine inspiration or some such thing.
Or listener inspiration. I mean,
listener inspiration, exactly.
Yeah, if you're listening out there and you want to help Dan with the next phase of the experiment, if he has some suggestions, email them to me and I will forward them on. But I hope that you will keep us in the loop and that you'll send us samples next time as well.
Oh, absolutely. I have your address, and I know UPS will get them there in a good condition. So,
well, the packaging had a lot to do with it, so you did a good job.
Yeah, it's an equal amount of weight to the product, I expect.
Well, Dan, I appreciate it very, very much, and good luck on the next step.
James, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks again to Dan and to our tasters, Nathan Traw, Steve Wilkes, and Andy Sparks. Andy is, of course, of thehomebrewery.com. What an awesome experiment. And luckily, Dan sent me duplicates of all the samples, so I can do it all again. And it might be fun to wait a while to see if anything develops more, especially in those lacto beers. I am looking forward to hearing what Dan comes up with next. And I encourage you guys to try this experiment as well. It's a lot of fun. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. You'll find our bottle openers on our shop. Our Basic Brewing growler bags are available as well. Protect your precious home brew and craft beers. You take it from place to place or place to place. Check out our support link where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site, along with combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you'll get a free bottle opener included with any of our DVD combos for a limited time. You can also check out the Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well. Our brewer's logbooks are also in the store as well. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com, and I'll package them up myself. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We greatly appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are What If? Serious Scientific Answers to Absurd Hypothetical Questions. And Apache Quick Disconnect Pressure Washer Gun Kit with Wand and Spray Tips, 4,000 PSI. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site. The next time you feel like Amazon shopping, we greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate links as well. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.